Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Makwana Maja. Let's get into the first news story of today. And Makwana, you put out a press release today talking about the costs of BEE on the South African economy and society. This is a point that you and many others who work with us have been making for a while now, that often when we talk about BEE as a form of redress, it's kind of an amazing policy in that it fails ultimately to improve the lives of millions of South Africans, instead enriching a small elite, and also just costs the country an enormous amount in terms of inflated costs. And you say that Parliament needs to be doing more oversight to actually think about what BEE is costing the country in terms of economics. Can you just explain this position a bit?
Absolutely, Nick. I think one of the things that also get lost in the BEE conversation about the policy's failures is that it always gets relegated to it being a corruption issue, you know, that BEE creates patronage and patrimonialism, where governments are stuffed with friends and family of members of the state instead of qualified individuals. And yes, that's an important conversation, but we're shining the light on a different aspect, a different element of BEE. This is BEE at its best form. We specifically invoke the case of Starlink here in confronting Parliament's dereliction of its duties to say, in the instance of a Starlink that would have brought foreign direct investment into the country, so tens, if not millions of dollars into the country, created jobs, put wages into the hands and households of South African families, brought development to key critical sectors such as technology, created an environment for innovation and technology transfer of a unique set of skills that are technology oriented, which as a country that's very well on the back foot of many of the generations of industrialization, certainly that's the case with the fourth industrial industrialization, is something that we need.
It could also help regenerate rural towns, right? Because people would be able, who are remote workers, to move to those towns and get secure internet.
Get secure internet that's fast and reliable and cheap. In a previous PR, we mentioned that various countries in Africa had already sold out their Starlink kits whilst we were busy showing Starlink the door and saying because it refuses to adhere to BEE, it must be banned, it must be barred from being able to do all those things we've just run down a list of, creating jobs, bringing development, developing rural areas that are remote and giving them access to the rest of the world, which is what the internet does. And our question to Parliament is this: who are you representing? And why are you not holding the executive accountable for protecting the minority, the blatantly enriched elite who would have benefited from BEE over the masses of South Africans who would, some would have not all would have benefited from the job creation, but certainly millions more would have, whose lives would have been improved by the development in that sector and having the internet be made available to them. So we have written letters to various members of portfolio committees from ministries of trade and industry, small business and development. To those MPs, we want to know, have they confronted the government on the decision to stave off foreign direct investment that would have created jobs in the country? And ultimately, whose interests are you defending? Are you defending the people who elected you to represent them in Parliament? Or are you also just part of the people who want to maintain the status quo where the cronies and crooks are enriched at the direct expense of the impoverished and the poor? We hope to get a response from Parliament soon. We've already sent out a few of those letters to the ministers to confront them as well about this. But this is a very important conversation to have about how many other instances like Starlink have we had throughout the implementation of BEE, where internationally based companies who are interested in doing business in South Africa are confronted with BEE compliance, specifically that thing of giving 30% or 25% of your company, special rules are created for those international companies, 25% of your company to a South African, to share that equity with a South African company. How many companies have been turned off by that and saying, I'm going to take my jobs to Indonesia. I'm going to take the jobs that I was going to bring to South Africa, to Malaysia, to Vietnam, to a country where ease of doing business is far easier. How many jobs? And we want to quantify it in terms of jobs because these are people's livelihoods. How many of those jobs have we simply kept out to protect that BEE elite?
Right, and this underlines the very central point in this argument here, which is that sometimes there's, you know, I think a lot of the public debate around BEE tends to sort of fall into this, well, you know, we need it because so many Black South Africans are still impoverished and are just living in difficult lives, or and we need, the euphemism uses transformation. Well, if you want transform the society, if you actually want Black South Africans to have more opportunities to become wealthier, to get better access to education, all these things, you need to get rid of BEE, because as you say, it blocks these potential routes into the economy, into uplifting the economy, into creating more jobs, all these things. And the only people who are benefiting from that are almost always people who have basically already made it. Right, people who are in university, people who already have a company that they can bid on a tender for, people who are going to get cut into those share deals of 30%. Those are the people who you don't need to help. They're already there. They're at the top levels of society. And the people who are basically screwed by this are, as you say, the masses of South African people, the poor in particular, who can look forward, I guess, to a small increase to child grant or the social relief of distress grant, which is not a life that anyone should have to look forward to, because it doesn't provide the safety, dignity, and opportunities that a job does.
Absolutely. And the veneer that this BEE policy thrives under is that it empowers people. And yet, as you've highlighted, to be able to bid for a company, you already need to be like fairly successful. You need to have a certain amount of money in your bank account to carry out the business obligations before the government can pay you. We know all the technical requirements. What about people in South Africa who have been locked out of the economy, who are deeply entrenched in poverty, who just need a lifeline, a job to get them on the economic ladder? What about the fact that those people have been sacrificed for far too long throughout the duration of BEE, sacrificed at the stake of the enriched? I think that it is time that we pull the rug from beneath this veneer that this is for the masses of Black people, and that this is for transformation, and this is for broad empowerment. It is not. It's very narrow. And until it is done away with, you should expect that South Africa's unemployment levels will remain as high as they are, that many of South Africa's youth have never even tasted job work experience, which is a deep travesty on the South African youth. It is such a great waste of talent, a great waste of skill, great waste of human capital and resources, and the South African people should not tolerate this, and they should not go along with the idea that this is for their interests. And Parliament needs itself to be held responsible, because it never brings up these issues, and needs to exercise its oversight duties, as you said, kick in its machinations of accountability, and hold the executive accountable. Do your damn job, basically. That's our word to Parliament.
Very well said. All right. Let's go on to a story about Joburg and its continuing difficulties with governance. This is an interesting piece of reporting from News 24. And let me just read the beginning of this story. City Power fraudulently spent 335 million rand in 6 months on failed maintenance and infrastructure projects, despite internal warnings the municipal entity was paying for deceptive invoices, according to News 24. An internal City Power memorandum revealed that the company's chief executive officer knew its maintenance budget was being defrauded. The alleged fraud occurred between May and October of 2023, but I suspect that if you kept digging and kept looking through the files, you would find that this is fairly routine. The three executives in the company were warned that eight contractors were sending what are described as deceptive invoices to supposedly loot the maintenance budget. There were basically essentially fake jobs being created. These contractors would say that they had performed some sort of replacement, send an invoice for it, but not actually have done the work and get paid for it. This seems like the most sort of direct form of looting. There's also all sorts of other anomalies in City Power's budget, massive amounts of inflation of prices. You know, you had like mops being bought for significant amounts of money, huge amounts spent on air freshener and pens, things that really shouldn't cost a lot. And the consequences are there to be seen. One of the areas that supposedly received a huge amount of this infrastructure spending is Roodepoort. And yet, whenever it rains, it suffers thousands and thousands of outages, things that should not happen if the infrastructure is up to standard. McCorney, what are your thoughts on this?
And if the infrastructure is not up to standard and you secure budgets for it, then those budgets get looted and the system unfortunately just carries on. It's a loop. This is News 24 reporting at its finest, where they're able to get actual amounts of how much money has been derailed from its initial budgets and do comparisons. Like you say, they make these exorbitant amounts spent on wooden mops and double section buckets. And it's just preposterous that that amount could be spent
I think the example in the story was those double mop buckets cost 1,500 Rand if you buy them in the shops, but the City Power spent 3,500 Rand on them or something like that.
Yep, more than double. And you can only do that, obviously, with money that's not yours. That's government also just living its best life. It is terrible. And I think that City of Johannesburg residents should demand more from their representatives. This is unacceptable. Unfortunately, with these sort of things, we usually find out years later. And like you said, I suspect that this is not the only operation where budgets are being looted, plundered, misused and abused. I'm sure there are other elements. And as per usual, they're going to promise you that, you know, they've now enforced stricter controls over their finances and are able to spend better. And the president himself will announce that he's going to take over the reins of the city, and he's going to, Nick.
Maybe they'll form another war room.
The war room, exactly. Another committee, another inquiry. That's usually the president's solutions.
And almost every time you trace back the owners of these companies that are doing these dodgy things, that are overcharging the city or sending it fraudulent invoices, and what do you find but a politically connected businessman owns it?
Absolutely. A close relative of somebody in the city of Johannesburg. Until the residents demand better from their representatives, whether it is at the polling or just spamming them about why they are abusing your taxes whilst you live through outages, while you live without water, which has certainly been the case for those residents in Roodepoort. And I forget what the other town mentioned was.
Randburg, I think, was the other one in the story.
Oh, Randburg. Until you demand better treatment, then unfortunately this will continue to happen.
Indeed. And this is just a great example of how Joburg is misspending its money. And when you hear stories that, you know, we've covered before about how Joburg is running out of money, remember this one. Because the truth is there is enough money. What's happening is it is being misspent on a tremendous scale across all of the country's municipalities. But that is particularly dangerous when it is being misspent so badly in the country's most important city, which Johannesburg still remains, despite the best efforts of its city council. All right. That is all the time we have for today. We hope you found the show interesting, and we will see you tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.